नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 17 टेक्स्ट 10 द टाइटल ऑफ द चैप्टर इज डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ द वर्णाश्रम सिस्टम. श्री भगवान उवाच धर्मेशा तव प्रश्नो ओके दिस इज अ टेक्स्ट टेम ओके आदौ कृतयुगे वर्णो नृणां हंस इति स्मृतः कृतकृत्या प्रजा जात्या तस्मात् कृतयुगं विदुः आदौ कृतयुगे वर्णो नृणां हंस इति स्मृतः कृतकृत्या प्रजा जात्या तस्मात् कृतयुगं विदुः आदौ कृतयुगे वर्णो नृणां हंस इति स्मृतः कृतकृत्या प्रजा जात्या तस्मात् कृतयुगं विदुः आदौ इन द बिगिनिंग ऑफ द मिलेनियम कृतयुगे इन द सत्ययुग or age of truth, Varnaha, the social class, Nirnam, of human beings, Hamsaha, named Hamsa, Iti, thus, Smritaha, well known, Krita Kritya, perfect in execution of duties by complete surrender to the Supreme Lord, perfect in Prajaha, the citizens, Jatya, automatically by birth, Tasmat, therefore, Kritayugam, Kritayuga, or the age in which all duties are fulfilled, Viduhu, was thus known by the learned. The translation. In the beginning, in Satyuga, there is only one social class called Hamsa, to which all human beings belong. In that age, all people are unalloyed devotees of the Lord from birth. And thus, learned scholars call this first age Kritayuga, or the age in which all religious duties are perfectly fulfilled. This is the purport by servants of Srila Prabhupada. It is understood from this verse that the supreme religious principle is unalloyed surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Satyuga, there is no influence of the lower modes of nature, and therefore all human beings belong to the highest social order called Hamsa, in which one comes under the direct supervision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the modern age, people are crying out for social equality, but unless all human beings are situated in the mode of goodness, which is a position of purity and unalloyed devotion, social equality is not possible. As the lower modes of nature becomes prominent, secondary religious principles arises, by which people may be gradually elevated to the pure stage of unalloyed surrender to God. In Satyuga, there are no inferior human beings, and thus there is no need of secondary religious principles. Everyone directly takes to the unalloyed service of the Lord, fulfilling perfectly all religious obligations. In Sanskrit, one who perfectly executes all duties is called Krita Kritya, as mentioned in this verse. Therefore, Satyuga is called Kṛtayuga, or the age of perfect religious action. According to Śrīla Jīva Goswāmī, the word ādo in the beginning refers to the moment of universal creation. In other words, the varnāśram system is not a present concoction but naturally arises at the time of creation and should therefore be accepted by all intelligent human beings. Om Jnana Tivrantasya Jnana Jana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Soyam Rupakada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Rakhanadhanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpade Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Sapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, I'll try to speak a few words on this verse. The section we are reading is part of Uddhava Gita. So as you know, I was thinking about different Gitas that we have heard, and of which the prominent Gita or the most prime one is Bhagavad Gita, which is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. Similarly, Uddhava Gita is also question and answer between Sri Uddhava and the Supreme Lord Krishna. And if we see Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many Gitas. If you take 10th canto, there are a few Gitas in that. Gita means basically song. One is Venu Gita is there. Brahmara Gita is there, Gopi Gita is there, maybe more, I don't know, this was I was thinking. And in the 11th canto, even in the beginning of the 11th canto, there is one Gita, that is Pingala Gita, the song by Pingala the prostitute. And from there, it actually proceeds to Uddhava Gita, that is the questions by Uddhava for the benefit of the whole human beings and answers by the Supreme Lord. And even in Uddhava Gita, there are two other Gitas. One is Bhikshu Gita, that is a song by the Avanti Brahman, and also Aila Gita by King Pururava. And when you go to the 12th canto, the initial beginning itself, there is one Gita, that is Bhumi Gita. So we can see a few Gitas, even in Bhagavatam itself. So focusing on Uddhava Gita is considered very important because it actually contains a lot of information regarding all different types of yogas, and ultimately it culminates in Bhakti Yoga. So Karma, Jnana, Ashtanga and Bhakti Yoga are described in Uddhava Gita, and the supremacy of Bhakti Yoga is established in Uddhava Gita. So that is the significance of Uddhava Gita. And also, another important point is that this is the final instructions that have been imparted by the Supreme Lord before the departure. Because towards the end of 11th canto, Krishna is departing from this world. So just before that, Krishna instructs Uddhava regarding various religious principles. So I heard that one of the saints, not from our sampradaya, he actually gave so much of emphasis for 11th canto. Because the Uddhava Gita is present. But when we see teachings of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, even though he didn't directly translate 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, I was speaking to a very senior devotee. He was mentioning to me that all these teachings of 11th canto are actually present in other cantos, because 11th canto is considered a summary of the rest of the Bhagavatam. So Srila Prabhupada has already given all the knowledge on 11th canto through his various lectures, various writings and purports. And at this, in the same time, we can see the 11th canto purport, it is very much based on the teachings of previous acharyas. We can see often references from Sridhar Swami, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Sri Jiva Goswami, Madhvacharya. So we can see so many references from all different acharyas, from different Vaishnava sampradayas. This makes it very, very, very meaningful, and that is our parampara system. So we can see parampara in action in these purports. And here, the main description is given about the Krita Yuga or the Satyuga. So Satyuga is the first millennium, the first age in which the Yuga cycle starts from Satyuga. It is Satya, Treta, Dwapara and Kali. So Satyuga is a long period of time, around, I think it's 1,728,000 years. So it's a huge span of time. And at this point of time, as the title itself describes, that is Krita Yuga or Satyuga. Krita, the exact translation, literal translation of the word Krita is executed, which is being executed. And Kritya means the duties. So Krita Yuga, the Krita Kritya as mentioned in this verse, is perfectly executing all the duties. And the prime duty of any human being is the duty towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the spiritual duties. So in Krita Yuga or in the Satyuga, people are naturally devotional and they execute their religious duties most perfectly. And there is no other varnas, because now there are different varnas and different ashrams. However, in Satyuga there is only one varna, and that is Hamsa. We are actually familiar with the word Hamsa. We have heard Paramhamsa. We say Jayam Vishnuvada Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya. Paramahamsa is the last stage. Even sannyas, it is considered the highest stage. Before that is Parivrajakacharya, that is one who travels and preaches. And Paramahamsa is the one who has the highest consciousness. In they are so much conscious of Krishna. They are completely in Krishna consciousness. So in Satyuga, people are naturally highly elevated devotees. And they worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the process of meditation. So that is, it is said, Kritoyat Dhyayate Vishnu. So in the Krita Yuga, people worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the process of meditation. So it is not the process for this age, obviously. Because we don't have the longevity as they had. The longevity, average longevity was around 10,000 years in Satyuga. And they had the attention span. They could meditate for thousands and thousands of years all together. Even we have heard the story of Valmiki. He meditated for around 10,000 years, if I'm right. 10,000. For us, even 10 seconds, even a minute, is so hard. So that is the difference between Kali Yuga and Satyuga. Satyuga is people are very, very pious. And they are naturally devotional. And in Krita Yuga or in Satyuga, the incarnation of the Supreme Lord appears. It is very important to know that in each Yuga, there is Yugavatar. And that particular Yugavatar is entitled, or his mission is to teach the Yuga Dharma. So the Yugavatar for Satyuga is known as Hamsa. He also has different names. It is said, it is in the beginning section of 11th canto, the different names of the Yugavatar of Satyuga is mentioned as, he is known as Hamsa, Suparna, Vaikuntha, Dharma, Yogeshara, Amala, Ishvara, Purusha, Avyakta and Paramatma. So he will be known by so many different names. And it is mentioned, he is Hamsa because he is actually beyond, even though he is Hamsa, he is actually beyond all this Varna and Ashram. And he is Suparna because he has got transcendental wings. He is elevated from the material platform completely. And there is a very nice description given in the same canto regarding who is this, you know, how he looks. It is said, the Lord comes in the white complexion, because Prahlad Maharaj also mentions, which are the different colors of the Yugavatars in different ages. So in Satyuga it is white in complexion, and he is known as Hamsa, and he has matted locks and wears a garment of tree bark. He wears black deer skin, a sacred thread, prayer beads, rod, water coat, and he is acting as a brahmachari. So this is the Yugavatar who is coming to teach the process of meditation at that age. So even though he is acting as, Hamsa is acting as a brahmachari, he is completely beyond the varna and ashram, because he is beyond the three modes of material nature completely. And the Lord is known as Hamsa, and his devotees are also known as Hamsa, if they are of the highest caliber. Like Prabhupada is known as Paramahamsa. Because they can actually discriminate and they can take the essence, the pure thing, from a filthy place. It is said a Hamsa, Hamsa means a swan. It's often called as swan-like devotees. Because devotees, they can actually take the nectar. Or in other words, they can be Krishna conscious at any circumstance. The pure devotees, we have difficulties. But for pure devotees, irrespective of the material situation, they are completely absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada mentions this point very emphatically in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, as it is. Prabhupada mentions the crux of Bhagavad Gita, the heart of Bhagavad Gita, the secret of Bhagavad Gita is that absorbed always in thoughts of Krishna. So when one comes to that platform of remembrance of Krishna all the time, which starts from hearing and chanting, Prabhupada says that is the heart of Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada says, Prabhupada gives the example of Arjun fighting in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He says, Arjun is fighting, but he is able to think of Krishna. Because that is the instruction given by Krishna. Krishna says, Mam anusmara yudhyacha, mai arpita manobuthir, mame vaishyasi asamshaya. So even while performing the battle, Krishna instructs Arjun to think of Krishna. So in this regard, Prabhupada makes this point that if one has to think like that, one has to develop love for Krishna. And if we have to develop love of Krishna, we have to follow properly the sadhana bhakti. We have to do proper chanting, we have to do hearing, we have to associate with the devotees, we have to do devotional service. Only through that we can come to the platform of love, which is very high. And as we progress in our devotional service, naturally remembrance of Krishna arises within our heart. So it is a natural process. Because that is the reason it is Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. So as Shravanam and Kirtanam happens, the remembrance of Krishna naturally comes to us. And Smaranam is important because it is exactly the opposite of forgetfulness of Krishna. So remembrance of Krishna is very important. Because the reason we are here is because we are forgetful of Krishna. And the material environment is facilitating to be in this world by forgetting Krishna. So when one comes to the platform of remembrance, Vishnu Smaranam means actually we are reviving our original consciousness. So it's a journey towards that. So Smaranam is considered very important. And also we can see in Nectar of Devotion, that is, all the whole purpose of following rules and regulations of devotional service is to remember Krishna. It is said, all the rules and regulations are just a servant of the prime process of remembering Krishna. Now, if we consider Satyuga, if we compare with our Kaliyuga, where we are here, we are the Kaliyuga residents, it is exactly a contrast. It's exactly the opposite, everything. Because here, there in Satyuga, people were naturally Krishna conscious. They were performing devotional service so naturally. Now we are naturally forgetful of Krishna. And not only that, our endeavor is exactly to go away from Krishna. So the whole endeavor is to cultivate animalistic life, which is based on eating, mating, sleeping and defending. So if we analyze, if we normal activities of any human beings in this world, it is actually aiming towards how to improve the four animalistic activities. Everything. And the whole educational system, it is geared towards the same. If we consider, you know, if we take, you know, a good university, say Melbourne Uni, now I think the fee is around 30 grand, 1 year. And if people are studying for 3 years, say 3 years, a bachelor's degree, 3 years,
And if you had to pay 20% interest to the hex that you get from the government. So we can understand if somebody is entering the job market, they are in debt of more than $100,000. So we can see the entanglement of the material energy right from the beginning. So as soon as they enter the job market, they are entangled completely. They are bound. So that is the reason they had to work so hard. You know, they are so much worried about the career. They are so much worried about the progress in the career because already they have huge debt. And what to speak about the rest of the things, you know, having a house, having a car, running the show, you know, that's a different story. So this is the beginning. And we see the international students, they have a debt back home, even they are landing in Australia. When they are, you know, stepping from the airplane, they are coming to Melbourne, they have such a massive loan. And even some people, even their house, this, that, so many things are in collateral they have given. This we see all the time. So the huge pressure, the material energy is giving such a huge pressure on each and everyone. And when we try to preach Krishna consciousness, it becomes a difficult thing because people are already absorbed and they are already worried about their material position. And when we try to give Krishna consciousness, they think, okay, this is something which is not so important because we have already so many things to do and they can see the consequences straight away. So they think, okay, maybe later. Maybe when I'm old or I'm not interested. That's it. And if we consider the four activities, eating, mating, sleeping and defending, someone is living for 75 years, suppose. First 25 years they are spending on education. First 25 years. So it is 33% of the total time is completely given for education so that they can build a career and they can live rest of their life. That is just to live. There is nothing more than that. One time Srila Prabhupada mentioned that you people are so advanced. Okay? In this age, the Western countries, you know, people are so advanced. He was mentioning Western country, India, everywhere, the same. People are so advanced. They claim to be so advanced so that you don't have even time to sit and eat for chapatis. So life is so busy. People are walking and eating. You know, you go to Swanson Street, we can see. It's walking and eating. And what they are eating? That is actually perpetuating their life in the material pool. It's actually increasing their lifespan in the material world. They can come birth after birth. The meat shop what they sell. You know, if we take a meat dish, you know, it's not just it's not the meat of one cow. I heard that it was the meat of hundreds and hundreds of cows in one bite. If you take, you get karma of killing, implicated for hundreds and hundreds of cows. It is said, if you kill or if you are associated with the sin of, anything related to cow slaughter, even one cow, one is implicated for the number of hairs on the cow. So think of, if there are hundreds of cows in one, how much suffering one has to go through and how many births one has to take. So the situation is really bad.
One hamburger,
yeah. So one hamburger is enough to live in the material world for millions of lifetimes. So this is eating. This is the eating of Kali Yuga. So the advancement is towards perpetuating our material life. And mating is completely unregulated. There's nothing to mention. It is completely havoc. And defending, so many weapons are there. Most of the countries are spending a decent amount of the budget on defense. I know India, a good amount of the budget is dedicated for the defense because there is Pakistan. And for Pakistan, there is India. So for them also, most of the budget is for defense. America, we can see. UK, we can see. All these countries, they have a high defense mechanism. And for us also on the individual basis, there is defense mechanism. Maybe our bank account, our credit card. We have our individual mechanisms to defense ourselves from so many different things. But it cannot defense ultimately. It's like, we can have a big war. Doesn't mean that death will not come. Still, everything will happen as it has to happen. So we try in so many different ways. And this is Kali Yuga, and people still adopt the process of self-realization which was useful in the Satyuga in the age of Kali. So people still go for meditation. 15 minutes yogis, half an hour yogis, 1 hour yogis, 15 minutes morning and 15 minutes evening yogis. But it doesn't have any effect. It is useless. Because there is no, the process of meditation starts from Yama and Niyama. That is, starts from rules and regulations. What has to be done and what not. So first of all, the rules and regulations are completely removed, and sitting in a corner with closed eyes will not bring anything. Maybe it is good in one sense, because at least that time they are not doing any sinful activities. Other than that, there is not much use of sitting in a corner with closed eyes. It's not much use. So the process is completely different, because people are not qualified to perform such severe austerities. It is mentioned in Satya Yuga, people had internal austerity and external austerities. It's not just external austerity, it is internal austerity also. So with that focused mind, they could dhyayato Vishnum. They could meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But now, it is not possible. It is impossible actually. And we have to understand how difficult it is for even for the devotees to practice Krishna consciousness in this age. As Bhagavad Gita, we had to actually remember the last section of Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter. Because it gives a very, very interesting dynamics how the mind, intelligence, the senses and sense objects work together. How the combination of all these things, how the dynamics in which all these things are acting. It is given very nicely in the 50-51 verse onwards in second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Yatatopi Kaunteya Purushasya Vipaschitaha Indriyani Pramadhini Haranti Prasabhammana. So it is talking about, not about a man on the street, it is talking about a devotee, Purushasya Vipaschitaha. Vipaschitaha means a man who has discrimination. Even for a man who has got the knowledge of discrimination, such as a devotee, even for him, Krishna says, and the second quality of that person is Yatatopi. Even though he is trying to control his senses, so he is trying to practice devotional service, he is trying to control his senses, still, he says, Indriyani Pramadhini. In the force of the senses are so strong. It actually forcefully catches the mind. So when the senses are attached to the sense objects, the mind actually withdraws. The mind actually dwells in sense gratification. Mind start making plans. So this is speaking about a person who is a devotee and who is trying to control the senses and trying to practice Krishna consciousness. So we have to think in this age, especially in the Kali Yuga, how much we have to be careful. Because if you go out, maybe temple room may be okay, but if you go out on the street, you know, so many kinds of distractions. So many kinds of distractions. What people speak, when we preach, you know, what people speak, what are the billboards, you know, whatever we see around, what people wear, you know, the whole thing is actually a distraction to our consciousness. So one has to be really careful. So Krishna says, one has to be really careful. And that's the reason the next verse Krishna says, Vashehi Indriyastasya Prajna Pratishtita. So one should control the senses. Then one's intelligence becomes steady. And to get to that stage, Krishna says one has to actually relish some transcendental happiness. One has to relish Krishna consciousness. To relish Krishna consciousness, one has to first start with practicing Krishna consciousness. If we sincerely practice Krishna consciousness, then one can get some taste in Krishna consciousness. And with that taste in Krishna consciousness, one can have a steady intelligence. And with that steady intelligence, one can control the mind and the senses. So the whole thing is starting from right practice of Krishna consciousness. Proper chanting, proper hearing, attending the morning program, doing the service. And with that, Krishna can bestow a little bit of taste. And with that taste, this intelligence can actually become steady. And with that steady intelligence, the mind and the senses can be controlled. So, everything is actually starting from proper execution of devotional service. I was thinking, we are just like travel agents. Actually, devotees are just like travel agents. Because for travel agents, you know, travel agents, if somebody comes, we tell they have some destination to go. So, for us, what is the destination? Krishna. It is Golok Vrindavan, specifically speaking. And there is a ticket. What is the ticket to fly? Chanting of Hare Krishna. And what is the price for that? Surrender. Yeah, it is the price of the faith. There is a very interesting song in it. It said, Nadia Godrume Nityananda Mahajan Padiyache Namahata Jivere Karan. It said, Shradhavan Janhe, Shradhavan Janhe. That is, the price is the faith. So the holy name and the faith. Faith in the holy name. Only through that actually we can go to the supreme destination. And only through which we can actually contract the sin, the vices of Kali. As Shukadev Goswami says, Kalyar Dosha Nidhe Rajan Astihi Eka Mahan Gunaha Kirtana Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Vrajet. So it specifically mentioned that Eka Mahan Guna. There is only one good quality for this age. That is chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And by that one can go to Param Vrajet. One can go to the supreme destination. So whatever is obtained through this process, that is through the process of meditation in Satyuga, the same thing can be obtained by chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So that is the simplicity in one sense of the process, because chanting is simple. It's not too complicated. So I stop here. See if there are any comments or questions. Yes, Prabhu.
Yes, regarding the numbers are, at least people that are practicing this in this yuga as compared to the numbers in the Kali Yuga.
Yeah.
What's the indication of the numbers of people in this dharma?
The number of people?
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly the population. I can't remember exactly.
You know what I'm saying? As compared to talking about the contrast.
Oh, yeah, contrast.
So what's the numbers? What's the contrast?
Yeah.
The numbers? Is there less people that are concentrating on this, or is there the same amount?
Okay. In Satyuga, all of the, I don't know exactly the population of Satyuga, if somebody knows can tell, but all of them were practically practicing Krishna consciousness,
yeah,
in Satyuga.
6 people and all of them are practicing, whereas there's 6 million, 6 billion now. So what I'm saying is, with the numbers concentrated as well as the concentration on the dharma.
Yeah, I don't know exactly the number in Satyuga. Anyone has any idea?
It'll
be more than 6 people.
Well, it'll be more than 6, but what I'm saying is, is there any indication anywhere in these writings of the numbers?
There can be, because there can be some indication, though I don't know exactly now. Because it is straight after the creation, because it's the beginning of the millennium. So,
right. So it's a lot less people to concentrate on.
Not necessarily.
Well, the diversification of that dharma has also been diversification of numbers as well. So it's more concentrated then.
The point is, the number of people here now, if we practice Krishna consciousness, God consciousness, is very less. Both quality and quantity is much low.
Yeah.
Is there anyone know exactly the number anywhere mentioned in Satyuga?
No.
I don't know. Maybe you had it up. Yeah? Maybe you had an idea? Yeah. Yeah, they procreated quite a lot, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. That section I was thinking, yeah. Because the beginning of the creation, you know, each prajapatis, the progenitors, they were creating, you know, thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, if we're eternal spirits now, how many people there was and how many people?
Yeah, I don't know the exact. No, I don't know exact numbers. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, maybe you had a refer or calculate. Yeah. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, such a good population of
What is that? They are there. Okay, it's mentioned here that they are hamsas, they are naturally devotees, and they were very austere. So we had to understand that in one sense they are in the material world. So Veda Vyasa Priya Maharaj is mentioning, they had the choice to come here, so they came here. So we cannot say, we cannot compare to the material propensities that we have or that we can imagine. So, practically it is not there. Because they were quite austere, they were sitting at one place and they were meditating. And they were practicing severe austerities. Yeah. There can be a trace. There can be a trace. There can be a trace, he's telling. There can be a trace of material desire. Because that's the reason they are here. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. How close one can get? One can get to the highest. Prabhupada says one can become pure devotee. Yeah, so it is possible. Says it, yeah.
And yet, what are the categories like deity worship and what else? What are the devotion services you are talking about?
Oh, generally? One is the sadhana level, one can chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, group in Kirtan, individually and in group. One can read Srimad Bhagavatam, one can do the deity worship, one can reside in holy place. Basically the five important limbs of bhakti, associating with the devotees. So these are the prime angas of the five pillars, we can say, or bhakti one can perform. That is the most potent. That's a good point. Mother just mentioning, say here there is the word Krita Kritya. Krita Kritya means, is it right? You are Krita Kritya. Because in Krita Kritya, it is translated as, you know, perfectly executing one's duties. So the point Mother just mentioning, Kritya, in one sense, just if you consider the word Kritya, it can be just any duty. But if it has to be perfect, it has to be towards Krishna. It has to be directly connected to Krishna. So the perfection of any activity is ultimately Krishna consciousness. If some sister Hari Roshana, is that the... So, yeah, that is the question. Yeah. But in that case, it was pretty much any worldly activities was considered in the first canto in that verse, that is samsitta haritoshanam, because ultimately everything has to, even any actions in varnashram should ultimately lead to Krishna consciousness. But here when it talks about Krita Kritya, they were actually performing direct devotion service to the Supreme Lord. That's what I was. Because in varnashram, not necessary that all activities are direct devotion service, but it can be connected towards Krishna. Whereas in Krita Kritya, where here it's mentioned, it is direct Krishna conscious activities. And that too, the prime process is given as meditation. So, prime process, they were focusing on the meditation and to the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.